Good morning. 9:33 a.m. on Wednesday, April 27th, 2016. It's another breezy morning. I made my 1,000 words yesterday. I didn't make the 5,000 I was hoping to get. It was one of those days, and I was up until 10 o'clock just getting the 1,000 words. I know if I keep going, even at 1,000 words a day, eventually I will come to the end of this story. Had a good conversation about Stir Construction with Deborah Geary last night. And I'm going to, when the anthology, the Starbound. Oh, shit. Okay, let's try this again. I get interrupted by two phone calls. And I missed one of them because I was busy talking. So, I may get interrupted again. We'll see. The long guys were going to be here around 10. They just called to tell me they're going to be closer to 11. Honestly, I'm not going to be home before 10, so, well, I'll be home just before 10, so it's close enough. It doesn't matter. Anyway, the Starbound anthology that has the origin story for Natalia and Zoya, that's going to come down sometime in early May. So it's either, you know, it's going to be maybe May 6th, or it comes out of Select on May 6th. And it will be taken down, and I will get the rights back to that story. And what I'm going to do is put it at the beginning of Milk Run, because, as Gary pointed out, Deb said last night, it's like, look, this is a kick-ass opener, and you're not going to be able to get that much backstory filled in comfortably if you go without it. So while there's a certain...
Good morning.
Well, there's a certain attractiveness to having it be standalone, the reality is that it really does go in Milk Run. So yeah, that's going to work out quite nicely, I think. The couple of topics going around today is somebody who is bemoaning the fact that she's being asked to write blog posts for $25. And the response she's getting is somewhat less than sympathetic. And she's a professional content creator. She has skills, she has experience, she's had training. And the idea that she should be asked to write a blog post for $25 is apparently insulting to her. It's allegedly less than minimum wage. And everybody that's responded has said, really? How long does it take you to write a blog post? If it takes more than an hour, you're not quite as expert as you think. And $25 an hour is certainly not anywhere near minimum wage. And the other side of it is, this is clearly somebody who thinks that they should get paid for their effort by hour and not for produced product. And no artist, or I'm going to say few artists, are able to get away with that. We hear quite frequently from freelancers on the various discussion groups, and nonfiction freelancers are, they work really hard for very little money, and I couldn't, you know, It's not something I could do. Blogging is not something I could do for money. Blogging, monetization of blogs is dependent on the products and services that the blogs support, not the blog posts themselves. And that's the crux of the problem. The monetization schemes for blogs are, I write this, I maintain this blog so that, in my case, I maintain the blog so that I can talk to readers, so I can tell them when there are books out that they can buy, or when there are audio, when there is audio they can download, or whatever, when I'm going to be someplace where they might be able to meet me, maybe get a book signed. That's promotional activity. And so paying somebody to write you a blog post, I suppose for nonfiction bloggers, there's a certain amount of sense, because what you're looking for is a regular drip of content. What you're looking for is something to keep readers coming back, something to keep readers interested in your subject matter expertise, and to convince them that you or your company knows what the hell they're doing. Now, relying on outside ghostwriters is probably a good strategy, particularly if you don't have to pay very much for them. That's an hour you don't have to spend yourself. So cool, if you're using that hour to produce something, seems like a good choice from the client side. From the writer side, everybody has to write what they want to write. Everybody has to write where they think they can make the most contribution. You know, I could be contributing educational blog posts for $25 a pop, probably. They don't pay the bills. They're like short stories. You know, I sell a short story for $250 and it's done, it's gone. Maybe I'll get it back in 90 days and maybe I can do something else with it later, but $250 for a few days worth of work. And I'm being terribly optimistic here, because it usually takes me a couple of months to write a short story. And $250 for a month's worth of work, that's not cost effective. One might argue that I'm not really being cost effective writing novels either, at least not these days, where I'm only publishing one or two a year. But the capacity is higher. The market is more demanding. I think if I can solve some of the personal issues, if I can solve some of the focus issues, if I can solve some of the some of the logistics issues, that 4 books a year is a pretty slack pace. And it's a pace that would pay very well and which I would really like to be doing. The idea that I'd really just prefer to sit around the house playing Minecraft or EVE Online. Not so much Monk Post. Minecraft is what I do when I'm really depressed. EVE Online is what I do when I'm trying to solve a problem, either in character or plot, or come up with some sort of clever idea. It's where I go to put my mind in a different place so that my hind brain can work on stories. But the other subject going around was the way Amazon prioritizes countdown deals on their countdown sales list. I have to confess, I don't understand how it's working. I'm sure sales rank factors in, because the people who have the highest position, the topmost positions on those lists, tend to be the ones with the better sales ranks. And as you go down the page, it becomes, the sales rank becomes, this is going to be a pain. The my 9:45 alarm just went off, so it interrupted what I was saying. I'm going to have to fudge these things together. Tedious. So anyway, yeah, countdown deals, the order of list on the countdown deals, I don't get it. I don't understand. Sales rank has a factor. Price has less of a factor, because most of them are, in fact, 99 cents. Sales velocity probably has a factor, and so does, I'm convinced, so does the amount of time left to run. So that countdown deals that are, that have less time, like 2 days left, will go below, will be weighted lower than those with 5 or 6 days left. I think that's possible. I think that's part of it. I think there's all kinds of things that could be going into that, including previous sales ranks, velocity of sales, all kinds of stuff. It's basically a black box, and it's got a non-linear formula controlling the outcomes from that black box. And we don't know what inputs it's getting. So there was a conversation, Richard Levesque had a conversation, started a conversation about the, it's mostly just luck. Now, pretty much nothing Amazon does is luck. There are systems in place. There are mechanisms at work. And just because it looks like magic, just because it looks like luck, doesn't mean it is luck. It just means we don't know the factors that are going into it. So that conversation sort of morphed into a conversation about sustainability being a matter of luck. No, that's also not true. Sustainability is not a factor of, it's not a matter of luck. Sustainability is a matter of market force. Market force would indicate, and this is a pretty well-known phenomenon for all kinds of product across a whole range of domains, that in the absence of effort, in the absence of particularly promotional effort, product sales will drop to a level of equilibrium. Now, depending on the market and the product, and the positioning of the provider in the marketplace, that equilibrium might be really low, but it will be consistent. So if you don't do anything and you sell 10 books, two books a month, you can pretty much be sure that you'll probably keep selling two books a month. If you, on average, sell zero books a month, you can pretty much be sure you're going to continue to sell zero books a month. Now, doing something will give you a spike. And then not doing anything after that, eventually the product will resume equilibrium. Now, the equilibrium might be the same place it was before, or in my case, it could be a little bit higher than it was before. Most of my efforts result in an equilibrium that's slightly higher than it was. My equilibrium point is, before I released Ashes, my equilibrium point was about $2,000. If I don't do anything for a few months in a row, my revenue is about $2,000 a month. Oh, that wind is raw. But doing
doing something like releasing ashes and doing something like the ad buy I did last November boosts revenues significantly. And then it takes several months to restore equilibrium. I have not yet resumed the equilibrium from before ashes. And that was 7 months ago. October, November, December, January, February, March, April. 6 months ago. And we haven't restored equilibrium yet in terms of sales revenues. We're getting closer every day, but we're not back down to $2,000 a month yet. Now, things that I could do would be like release the next book, which will be Milk Run. I don't expect that Milk Run will have a significant effect as if I had released To Fire Called. But it will have an effect. And what I'm counting on is that Fire will actually go easier because it's the second book of the series, number one, because I will have spent several months working in toehold space with Natalia and Zoya, number two, and I have some rough idea about what Fire is about. I had some rough idea about what Milk Run was about, but I was wrong, and I've had to sort of modify that. Fiddle around with it, so it slowed me down. But two books released within a few months of each other, 2 or 3 months of each other, will have a significant effect on the equilibrium state of my revenue stream, which will give me another little pulse that will take several months to return to normal. So the question isn't how do you become sustainable? The answer to how do you become sustainable is don't, and let the products seek their equilibrium state. The question of how do you make sufficient revenues to matter is you have to keep doing things. You have to keep releasing new products. You have to work with your audience. You have to do promotional activities. You might have to buy an ad. You might have to show up at a convention. You might have to do all kinds of things. But the idea that sustainability is luck misses the point of what sustainability really means. And here I am at the back gate. I'm going to hang this thing up before I lose any more and have to fight to put it back together again in 4 pieces instead of 3. So here I am at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day, and with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.